You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Game On. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
That is worth celebrating, isn't it? That's just incredible, unbelievable. And I want you to know, if I haven't told you lately, of how thankful I am of you. And not only am I thankful for you, but I am very, very proud of you. That's why I love to be a part of New Point Community Church. What you just saw and what you just heard. You are incredible, and you're making a huge difference. And I've always wanted to be a part of something that was bigger and greater than me. I wanted to be a part of something that could only be described as only God. And that's happening right here at New Point Community Church. And I just want to thank you and let you know that I'm proud of you and I love serving with you. Now, we're in this series called Game On. Get off the bench and into action. Now, if you've ever played sports, and some of you have, and if you haven't, you probably had a son, or you probably had a daughter who did, you know that there's a big difference. There's a big difference between sitting on the bench and being in the game. Matter of fact, you know what? Some of us parents, we get pretty hot and mad when our kid is sitting on the bench, especially if we think that they belong in the game, because there's something in all of us, in me and in you, that wants to be in the game. I mean, it's great to be on the team. It's great to be a part of the team, but what is really rewarding is when you know that you played a part, you played a role in contributing to the team's wins. That you are contributing in a very specific and distinct way in helping them win a championship. We all know that. And it's true in professional sports. I mean, if you would talk to any professional athlete, you would find out that they're chasing a world championship. They want to be a part of a world championship team because that's rewarding. And deep down inside, we all want that because we all want to be a part of something greater than us. And I believe deep down inside in each and every one of us, we all want to make a difference, don't we? We all do. We want to make a difference. It's in your DNA and it's in my DNA. We all, if you will, want to be on a winning team. And we see this all throughout the professional arena. The greatest athletes in the world will tell you that something is missing in their career without a championship ring. I mean, we've heard all the buzz right here in Northeast Ohio about championships because everybody wants to be on a world championship team. It's the ultimate prize in professional sports. If you will, it's the bling. It's the bling of sports. It's what motivates the highest level of performers in sports. So here's a question that I have for us today. What motivates you? What motivates you? In the arena of sports, it's the ring. They want to be known as a champion. They want to be able to be called world champs. But what is it that motivates you? You see, if you name the name of Christ, if you're here today and you would say, I am a Christ follower, I believe that he is who he says he is and that he has done what he said he did, and that was going to a cross, dying for your sins and my sins, and then on the third day being resurrected from the grave. If that is you, the great news is you're on a winning team. Because we already know who wins in the end. You know, we've read the what? The end of the book. And we know that we win, and it's our team. But the question is not whether you're on a winning team, if you know Christ. The question is, are you sitting on the bench? Or are you making a specific contribution to this championship team? You see, that's where the real satisfaction comes in. When you and I are making a specific contribution and bringing about God's purpose and God's plan, that we're not only on the team, but we're making a significant contribution to the team. So that what happens is one day you and I will stand before our coach, if you will, our Heavenly Father, and He will not give you a ribbon for participation. He will give you a ring because you were faithful in what He asked you to do. You see, we live in a day and age, okay, of where everybody gets rewarded just for participating. I mean, you could lose every game and still get a participation ribbon, okay? I think it's crazy, but that's where we're at today. But that's not going to be the case when we stand before God, okay? He's going to reward us based on our contribution. And I don't want a participation ribbon. Y'all right on that one? I want a ring. I want to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well, you know what? You went to church, at least some of the time. You gave a few dollars here and there, but you really never got into the game. You participated, but you never really made any significant contribution. And so you get a ribbon for participation, but you're going to miss out on the ring." You see, I don't want that for you. I definitely don't want it for me. You know, we want to be able to say, "You know what? I made a significant contribution. I got in the game, and I did something." Now, what I want to do is I want to help us with that today. I want to help each and every one of us, because there's a champion in each and every one of you. There's a champion in all of us, because God created you in that way. And He wants to draw that out of you. He wants to draw that out of me. He wants to draw that out of us. It's there within you. The enemy will tell you that you can't contribute. You can't make a difference. But God's going to tell you today that you can. And so we are all witnesses. You ever heard that phrase? We are all witnesses of the King, but not the King who you're thinking of. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the one who died for you and rose again for you and now lives forever in you, that King. We are all witnesses. And because of that, He has something for you and me. So 2,000 years ago, when He visited earth, He had something to say before He left. And here's what He said. And by the way, you can follow along in your note-taking guides, all right? Here's what He said. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." A witness is someone who sees something, who hears something, who experiences something. "In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now He says here that you will be my witnesses. And a witness is someone who sees something, hears something, or experiences something. So what are they a witness to? Well, maybe you've been at a sporting event and you've seen this come up on the screen. John 3:16. We all know it. Here's what we are a witness to, all right? John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." That's called the good news. And what Jesus was saying is, you're a witness to that. You saw Me in the flesh. You saw Me live. You saw Me die. You saw Me being resurrected. You are a witness to that. He goes on to say this, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." You are a witness, not only that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again, you're a witness to the fact that God's not mad at us. That God didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And so Jesus was telling his followers at that time, he was saying this. He was saying, you shall receive power and it will come upon you through the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. You need to tell everybody that I died for them. You need to tell everybody that I'm not mad at them, that I love them, that I so loved them that I gave my very life for them so that they could be forgiven, so that they could have eternal life. He says, you are my witnesses. And then he gives us four areas: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, what does that mean to you and I today? What does that mean to you and I today? All right? We're to be witnesses. We're all witnesses. But how can we be witnesses in these four specific areas? Well, let me share this with you. The first one is Jerusalem. And that is your community and your city. It's where you live. It's where you live. It's your neighborhood. It's your city. It can be your county. You're called to be a witness there. Of what? Of God's love. That he lived, that he died, that he rose again. And that he's not mad at you. He loves you. That's your Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say Judea. And Judea is Northeast Ohio. Northeast Ohio. That's why we're a multi-site church. Aren't you glad that New Point understands that we're a witness? So guess what? We have a witness in Coshocton. Hello, Coshocton. We have a witness in Millersburg. Hello, Millersburg. We have a witness in Worcester. Hello, Worcester. We have a witness in Canton. Hello, Canton. And we have a witness in Dover and New Philadelphia and all of Tuscarawas County. Hello, Tuscarawas County. Aren't you glad? You see, aren't you glad? You see, what happened is 2,000 years ago, a group of people took this serious. They took it serious, and they went to not only their community, but to their Judea. And they did even more than that. They went to their Samaria. And Samaria is culturally different people. It's people who don't think like you. They don't live like you. They don't dress like you. They don't believe like you. You ready for this one? They don't even vote like you. And we're called to be a witness for them. We're not called to build walls. We're called to build bridges. For God so loved the world. Even people who look different than us. Even people who live different than us. Even people who believe different than us. Even people who vote different than us. Wow. We're called to reach Samaria. And some of you are doing that. And you know one of the ways in which you're doing it, and I applaud you for this, you have exchange students. And I think it's so cool. Because some of you, when you have those exchange students, you allow me the privilege of meeting them. And you'll tell me something like this: Dwight, they've never been to church before. This is the first time they've ever been to church. They're not even for sure if there is a God. And you've invited them into your home. And you said, you know what, we're going to have them here for 6 months. And we're going to love on them, and we're going to just sow some seed. Why? Because we're all witness to what? This fact that God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, red, yellow, black, or white, male, female, rich or poor, educated, uneducated. This gets me excited. I've witnessed something, man. I witnessed something. And I'm called now to take that to my Jerusalem and my Judea and my Samaria. You see, here's what we need to understand. Most of us don't need to cross an ocean to make a difference. We just need to cross an ocean of indifference towards the people around us. Y'all okay on that one? Huh? I mean, it's good to go across the ocean. We're going to get there in a moment. But it's really good if we cross the street or if we cross the railroad tracks. And most of us, okay, let me read it again. Most of us don't need to cross an ocean to make a difference. We just need to cross an ocean of indifference towards the people around us and realize that God so loved the world and that everybody spends forever somewhere. Whether they vote like us, whether they look like us, whether they dress like us, whether they believe like us, whether they think like us. We're all witness. If you're a Christ follower, you're a witness to that. And then he says this, to the ends of the earth. Wow. America and the world. And you just saw that. You just saw that. You see, I mean, this is why I'm so proud of you. Because you know what? We're more concerned than just our neighbor, though we are very concerned about our neighbors. We believe that God loved the world, and because God loved the world, God has called us to be a witness to the world. And we can't just look at our own community. You know, we're always going to be looking for opportunities for our next campus. You know why? Because Jesus said so. That's why. We're always going to be looking for opportunities to meet needs around the world. You know why? Because Jesus said so. To the ends of the earth. Think with me. 2,000 years ago, these guys and ladies heard this. There was no TV. There was no transportation. There was no internet. There was none of that. And you know what happens, and I'm going to share this with you in a moment. We hear about reaching the world, and you know what we say? So how are we going to do that? And back then, they didn't have internet. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have transportation. But it's because of the one who gives us this command that makes all of this possible. And we're seeing it happen in and through New Point. And I applaud you for that. Listen to this story of Todd Candle, because Todd Candle caught this vision that God so loved the world. He caught the vision that we are all witnesses. And he's leveraging the things that God has blessed him with to be able to do that. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Todd Candle, and I'm a partner of MRV Siding Supply and Home Siding in Millersburg, Ohio. So after Hurricane Katrina hit, Chad Stutzman contacted me and asked me if I would be interested to go along on a disaster cleanup trip. I was attending church, and I was pretty much on the sidelines. Wasn't engaged, wasn't involved. You know, I wasn't sure. I'd have to take time off work and use vacation. And we talked a little more about it, and he asked me about tools. I said, what about tools? He said, do you have tools? I said, well, I've got all the construction tools you can imagine. So, of course, that lit me up, and I wanted to load up a trailer full of tools and take a group of guys down there. And that was my reason to go. That was the beginning. And on the way back, I had one of those aha moments. The light bulb came on. Wondering, how do you know if you're doing God's will in your life? That's the light bulb that came on. All this 35 years of construction experience that I've had, that God has allowed me to learn and be a part of, I had the opportunity to give that back and to use that. And it was so clear. It was so crystal clear. I wasn't on the sidelines. This is your way to get involved. It's time to get involved. It's time to use what I've entrusted you with, what you've learned through your adult life, your experience of construction, and give back to where there's a need. You know, it's amazing once I made the decision to serve, and I thought and I prayed that, you know, God, I'd like to do more of this. How can I do more of this with the job and with this business? And after that prayer, God gave me partners that are supportive and said, when you need to go, you need to go. If you're following the path that God has prepared and the path that God has laid out, he takes care of those details. Okay, I've taken care of this, I've taken care of this. We have all these objections why we shouldn't or why we can't or I'm not good enough. I challenge you to put those in front of God and say, if you do this for me, I'll serve. After a tornado went through the Midwest, we showed up with our rapid response team. And we go around knocking on doors where we see a lot of tornado damage. We knocked on this door, a retired couple answered. He says, what are you here for? And our volunteer said, God sent me. And the guy looked at him and he looked around and he says, come inside. This was a retired pastor who just got out of the ministry. He had this farm, a lot of trees, this big property, wasn't able to take care of the property. He felt like giving up. He was praying at the kitchen table with his wife. God, I feel like giving up. And he heard a knock at the door. They're looking for a God moment, and we're there to be that God moment. We try to qualify if we have enough to serve. Don't do that. You are excluding yourself from a reward. You have something to offer. You have something to fill a need on the other end where you're going to serve, wherever you're serving. So don't ever feel that you don't have something to offer. We all have something to offer.
Wow, is that worth celebrating, huh? That's incredible. How's that? God sent me. Wow. You see, here's what we have to understand. When we understand that we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, we are an answer to someone's prayer. Think of that. You're an answer to somebody's prayer. We're an answer to somebody's prayer. And Matthew explains this even more in the Gospels of what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 1. And here's what he says. It gives us a little broader perspective. Jesus says these words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." How much authority? All. Why? Because he conquered sin and death and hell. All authority has been given to me. He goes on to say this, therefore. And whenever you see a therefore, it means in light of what I just said, I want you to hear me. Okay? And so what did he just say? All authority. Not some, not 98%, not 99. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, he gives us our marching orders. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Do something. Of all nations, your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samarias, to the ends of the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he gives us this. He says, and surely I am the one who has conquered death. I am the resurrection and the life. I am with you always to the very end of the age. And what Jesus was doing, he wasn't just making a statement when he said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. He said much more than that. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something to be able to make sure that you are fully equipped and empowered to do what I'm asking. Because here's what we all need to understand. God will never ask you to do anything that he will not equip and empower you to do. And so let me just share quickly three things, all right? Here's the first one. We are given authority. We are given authority. Look what he says here. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Wow, this is incredible. And the word authority here means privilege or right. The freedom to do whatever I want to do. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I have been given all authority, the freedom to do whatever I want to do. And so Jesus has all authority to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, wherever he wants to do it, and to whomever he wants to do it, in and through. That's incredible. All authority. So you know what? You're not going to lack anything. I'm not going to lack anything. Okay? Don't look at the size of your problem. Look at the size of your God. He has all authority. And here's what Jesus says. He says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will what? Do it. Who's saying that? The one who has all authority. The one who can do whatever he wants. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. When he says in my name, he means according to his will, according to his plan. And God has all authority, and he's willing to empower you and I, and he's willing to give you and I anything that we ask in his name. The sad fact of the matter is we ask for so much in our name. Y'all right on that one? And for our glory, not for God's glory. And we wonder why. People ask me, does God answer prayer? Absolutely. Those that are prayed in his name and for his glory. And he has all authority. And you can ask for anything. People will ask me sometimes when I share my dreams and my visions and my plans. They say, how are you going to do that? It's not my problem. I'm just asking my Father who has all authority, who can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, through whoever he wants, at any time he wants. And so what happens is we are given authority. Wow. And you know what else he says? We're given an assignment. We're given an assignment. Look at what he says here. He says, therefore, in light of this authority that I'm willing to give you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He says, you know, in light of the authority that I have, I'm commanding you. I'm not suggesting to you. I'm commanding because I have all authority. You see, what happens is we have to understand that God has all authority. And when you understand and I understand that he has all authority, then you and I will have no trouble obeying him. The reason why we have trouble submitting to God and obeying to God is we don't believe that he has all authority. Y'all right on that one? And he says, therefore, in light of the fact that I can do whatever I want to do, here's what I'm telling you to do. It's not the great suggestion, okay? He's given us a great commandment here, a great commission. And he says, I want you to go to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria. I want you to go to the ends of the earth. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to teach them to obey everything I have commanded them, because that's how you can realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. It's interesting that he didn't say here, your assignment is to get everybody to believe in me. He says, your assignment is to teach them to obey everything I have commanded. That's why we have Discover classes here. Because this is Jerusalem. And so we need to teach you everything that there is for you to obey so that you can realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. That's why we have an opportunity such as this right here. We're teaching you to obey everything that God has commanded because he's one who has all the authority. And so if you haven't been to a Discover class, get going. We want to teach you everything so that you can enjoy everything that God has for you. And so we have an assignment right here at our campus to be able to teach you to obey everything that God has commanded. But you know what? That's our Jerusalem. But we've got a Judea, and we've got a Samaria, and we have to the ends of the earth. And I want you to welcome a good friend of mine, Scott Compton. Would you welcome Scott? All right? And Scott is going to share with us, he's going to share with us the assignments that we have taken on at New Point in being able to fulfill what God is asking us to do. Scott, good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here.
Hey, you know, some of these people have never met you, okay? They're finally putting a name with a face and a face with a name. And so, how'd you get to New Point, and why did you choose to be a part of New Point and what God is asking us to do?
Sure. Well, for a number of years, we lived and worked in East Africa. And so when we came off the field last year, We were looking for a place with sort of a global perspective. And when I say global, I'm talking about a place that values the people around the world as much as they value the people in their backyard. As Dwight was saying, a place that cared about people from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And so from East Africa to Sugar Creek and Northeast Ohio, we think we found that place in New Point.
That's great. Well, we're so thankful to have you here. Now, help us, okay, I know that they have an insert in their weekly, and I encourage you, by the way, to take time to read through that because it's incredible, and it will enlighten you on some things. But what are those areas that we feel that God is calling us to take to our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth?
Sure. Well, let me put it to you this way. I want you to imagine for a second that you woke up tomorrow morning and all the water fixtures in your house were gone. So your toilet, your sink, your shower, your dishwasher, anything that has water, even the hose, is gone. So you would get up in the morning, you'd want to use the restroom, but there would be no water, so you couldn't go to the restroom. Hopefully you wouldn't go to the restroom if there's no water. You want to brush your teeth, but there's no sink. You want to take a shower, but there's no water coming out of the shower. You can imagine how quickly this would go from an inconvenience in your life to a threat. You couldn't be able to cook. You wouldn't be able to find water for your kids to drink. That's the reality of thousands of people living across the world. And when that need is so great, it consumes your life, you lose hope. And so water is one of those eight needs that we've identified as the biggest areas that we can have an impact in the world. And we highlight those eight needs because at the core, we want to get to that eighth need, which is spirit. Because if you're so caught up in not having water and not having hope, you don't have room. Your life's not focused on the reality that there is a God out there that cares for you. So when someone does come, when someone does provide that one thing that you've been hoping for, they're a lot more receptive to hearing the message that Jesus right. Christ loves them.
Right. That's good. So what are those other areas?
Can you give those to us? You can read about them in your bulletin, but we have food, we have medical, we have clothing, we have shelter. There's just a number of areas that we have determined are the areas that we can have the greatest impact.
Great. And you know what? All of you are a part of that. And I thank you. And I thank you, Scott, for your leadership and your willingness to have a heart, not only for your backyard, but for the world. Let's give it up for Scott, all right? Thank you so much. And so we understand that we've been given authority. We've been given an assignment. An assignment. And Paul describes it in this way. Paul says it like this: my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't say here, the most important thing in my life is to get married. Y'all right on that one? He doesn't say the most important thing in my life is to fund my retirement. He doesn't say the most important thing in my life is to get a good education. No, you know what he says? He basically says the most important thing in my life is that I use it to finish the work that God has assigned me. And all of us have this assignment if you are a Christ follower. And so here's what I want us to understand. Life is a long-term mission trip. And every week is a short-term mission opportunity. He says, therefore, go, 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 go. And so every week is a short-term mission opportunity for you and I to be a witness to God's love and to God's forgiveness and God's hope. And so he's given us authority. He's given us an assignment. And lastly, he's given us ability. He's given us ability. Look what he says here. He says, and surely I am. The great I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The one who has power over demons, the one who has power over disease, the one who has power over death, the one who has power over destruction, the one who has power over everything, the one who has all authority. All authority is with you always to the very end of the age. What did Todd Candle say? God is with me. There's not a greater thrill than to be a witness and to be able to go and to be somebody's answer to their prayer and to be able to understand that God's given me the ability because he lives within me. Paul says it like this. He says, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything. Even the challenges in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth, through him who infuses inner strength in me, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Wow. So we have all authority. We have an assignment and we have the ability. We are all witnesses. Now let me give you a definition as I wrap up. A witness for Christ is one who sees whatever everyone else sees, but they choose to do what no one else does. That's a witness for Christ. That's one who's in the game. One who sees whatever everyone else sees, but they choose to do what no one else does. And so what can you and I do? Let me give you three things. Number one, pray. And I'm not talking about God is good and God is great. Let us thank him for our food. I'm not talking about prayers that say, now lay me down to sleep if I should die before I wake. I'm talking about praying and pushing back darkness, spiritual darkness, all throughout our world. Pray, pray, pray. Let's don't be a church that just prays sometimes. Let's be a praying church. So you can pray. Secondly, you can give. Give financially. Give financially to the work that we are doing in reaching our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're investing in God's kingdom. And then you can go serve. Whether it's in your Jerusalem, might be your local campus. Whether it's in Judea, it might be helping out in one of the ministries that we partner with. It might be Samaria, it might be inviting an exchange student. It might be fostering a child. Or it might be going overseas. I don't know. But go, go, go. And here's God's promise to you and me, the one who has all authority and has given us this assignment. Here's what he says. If you will seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, that means be a witness for Christ, he will give you everything you need. Wow. Everything you need. The one who has all authority, the one who can do whatever he chooses to do. Hey, it's great partnering with you, and I'm excited about the future. We're all witnesses if you know Jesus, and let's continue to do that. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for your love for us. We thank you for the witness that somebody was to us. We thank you for those handfuls of people 2,000 years ago who, when they heard that word to go into all the world, into their Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, they had not a clue of how it was going to be get done. But they didn't allow that to stop them or to interfere in what they could do at that moment. And because of their faithfulness, we are here today, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, knowing that we're going to live with you forever and ever, and there are people waiting to hear from us. May we be found faithful, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.